All right, thank you. That's 7:13. We're only like 1 minute late. Thank you very much, everybody. Much appreciated. Welcome back. Could the General Manager confirm that the recording has restarted?
Confirmed.
Thank you.
Mayor, given that you're about to announce notices of motion, I wonder whether it might be an appropriate time for me to request that I have permission to make a personal explanation pursuant to Regulation 24 of the Meeting Procedures Regulations.
Certainly. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. In the Kimber Chronicle of 23 August, I, along with several colleagues, was labelled a recalcitrant by Councillor Cordover due to my position on his notice of motion regarding short-stay accommodation and requesting a report into options for restricting use of homes for short-stay accommodation. For the avoidance of doubt, though, while I take definitional issue with Councillor Cordover's comments, I don't think that I'm obstinately uncooperative. My issue is not actually with Councillor Cordover. I had been asked for comment on the decision I'd taken on that notice of motion by the Chronicle 2 days prior to its Monday online publication and admittedly did not respond in the tight timeframe provided. My inclination to respond at all was not high after reading that I had been labelled a recalcitrant in the pages of the Chronicle without much opportunity to contribute to the same article. That decision has been affirmed by the inclusion of a slur cleverly implied into the pages of the Chronicle this week that, in not responding to their questions, I must therefore be lying about having a pecuniary interest in the matter of Councillor Cordover's motion. To add insult to injury, it's not as if there was any intention to publish the answers that have been provided by my colleagues, as that has still not occurred. It was a search for a gotcha moment that simply does not exist. For future reference for the Chronicle and anyone else, it can be taken as a given that I take my obligations with respect to pecuniary interests and conflicts of interest exceptionally seriously. And if I have not declared an interest, then one does not exist. Any statement of the contrary, direct or implied, I find offensive and defamatory. Thank you, Mayor.
Beg your pardon, sir? Okay, thank you. A personal explanation is not to be debated, however. So we are resuming the agenda. We're on notices of motion. There is a notice of motion that I've submitted, so I'll hand over the chair to the Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. We have before us item 18.1, a notice of motion submitted by Councillor Reach on the reduction of the speed limit on Redwood Road. Moved by Councillor Reach. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Reach.
Thank you. I'd like to move this motion, which is asking the Transport Commission to rectify what seems to be an anomaly on Redwood Road with the speed limit of the section that goes from Channel Highway up to Maranoa Roads. The remainder of Redwood Road is 50 kilometres an hour for reasons that seem a little bizarre to me, that section that we're talking about here has continued to be at 60 kilometres per hour. It doesn't make any sense to me. It is an area where there are a number of vulnerable road users, as there are the aged care facility and a childcare centre, and it is it has a high volume of traffic in that area. I understand that there was a request from Council back in 2012 to review it, and it was refused by the Transport Commission on the grounds that it was a high-volume road, and that makes no sense to me. I would have thought if you have a high-volume road like that in a suburban area, you want to reduce the speed limit, but I am advised by our staff and by Mr. Reeve that that is not sort of contemporary practice now in terms of assessing speed limits, so I'd be hopeful that if this does receive the support of councillors and go to the Transport Commission, that they would accept our recommendation. It will be less confusing for road users in the area because you turn off, you've got one section of 60 kilometres an hour and then the rest of the road at 50 kilometres an hour at the moment. Certainly a lot safer. Every time I'm on that road, there is a high volume of traffic. There's lots of people cycling to and from the childcare centre, people with prams, road users, and so it has been raised by a number of residents that they would like it reduced for safety reasons, but also for consistency. So I'd welcome the support of councillors, and then we will certainly make a submission to the Transport Commission for this to come into effect.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Reet. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. This absolutely makes sense, and thanks to the Mayor for advocating on behalf of residents for this. Sometimes this seems like a quick process to write to the Transport Commission, and sometimes it seems a bit of a slow process in regards to how it goes. What is the process? Is it just a letter that we write to them, or is there a more detailed process, noting that on one of the actions still going on is the Woodbridge Hill Road? I'm just wondering.
As a question, Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. Yes, it depends a little bit on terms on where it happens to be. So they certainly like to make sure that we take into account the various Australian standards that would actually apply. They like to take into account what would be the drivers for us to actually request that speed limit change, which include things like the crash history in the area, the volumes of traffic, the types of traffic as well at the same time. And they're also interested in, I guess, the community support for a change in the speed limit. So some of those things can take a little bit longer because, for example, if you cast your mind back, we did go through this process with a section of Roslyn Avenue there, and we're required to provide some supporting evidence, which meant going back to the community and seeking their viewpoints and also getting independent consultants' reports. So that was a little bit more complicated. This one here I'd envisage is a little bit simpler. As the Mayor pointed out, it's more of an anomaly as compared to not. So this would be one that we would be first having the discussions individually with officers from the Department of State Growth to see where they're viewpoints are actually at, determining what they would require as their evidence package for the submission, and then providing that through to the Transport Commission.
Thank you. And a question for the Mayor. So noting there is a childcare and aged care and the Senior Citizens Hall, did the community perhaps suggest any other traffic calming measures other than a speed limit?
No. Not the residents that I've spoken to or who have raised it. They've been very focused on the speed limit.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Fox.
In the past, I was aware of quite a lot of older people wanting to walk from the senior citizens' place and also Redwood Village to the shopping centre, and there is a footway that goes through there. In fact, there was one gentleman in the access committee who lived there, and he was in a wheelchair, and he used to go across the road there, and it's always been of concern to me that that area is 60k and not 50. So I'm really pleased that this is being brought forward. I was disappointed in 2012 when it was lost, and I think this is a really important point where we should be doing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll speak against the motion. As late as Sunday, there were still signposts up saying the other end of Redwood Road was 60. So again, you have information before you which is incorrect and false. It is 60 k's from the Channel Highway through to the access onto Algona Road. So for consistency, if for no other reason, for consistency, it needs to remain at 60, not change 50, and then what are you going to do with the other 50? You've also got to be mindful that this is a collector road, and every time you change collector roads, you set up rat runs. And rat runs happen in places where you don't necessarily want them and find that they go through urban areas, and all of a sudden you have a bigger problem. So I would suggest to you, treat with caution, because what you ask for, if you get, you may then have something that's going to be far more humongous than what you have now, and it will turn around and bite you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Wass, apologies. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Chair. So the officer's response is that council officers support a review of the speed limits in this area, and that gives me great comfort to support this. I mean, if we've got our council officers supporting it. However, the wording of the recommendation is that we will ask the Transport Commission to reduce the speed limit, and then in the officer's response it says, if council resolves in the affirmative, this will require a submission is provided to the Transport Commission that takes into account a number of considerations, including traffic data, crash history and community support. How often are these periodic reviews taking place, and are we potentially, this is a genuine question, are we putting the cart before the horse by making the request to reduce it, or is perhaps a better way of doing it to get that data from the periodic reviews and then make our assessment based on the Transport Commission? So should we be leading the Transport Commission, or should they be leading us, and how often are these periodic reviews? Thanks.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. Different people, different road authorities will do reviews on different individual roads at different times. So there's not an overall, let's review all the speed limits on all across the municipality. Sometimes there is. Obviously, there was that when we moved to the 50 kilometres an hour across all the urban areas. But generally, they're done on a road-by-road basis. And they're generally driven by community sentiment. So quite often we will get queries from the community who have issues in terms of safety, who have issues in terms of crashes that may have actually occurred in the area there, and we would investigate each of those ones on its own merits, and then if we deemed it to be appropriate there, then we'd be looking at actually trying to go through this process of doing a submission to the Transport Commission. And the recommendation would come from the data that I've mentioned there, which is, as I said, crash data, traffic data, community sentiment, and then it's up to them to actually make the final decision on whether or not they actually approve that. As I mentioned, I believe this one may be famous last words, maybe a little bit simpler than some of the other ones we've done before, just because the fact that it's a little bit different to, it's a little bit different to some of the other roads we have around the place that also have high volumes of traffic and have a similar configuration there that are at 50 kilometres an hour at the moment. So it's sort of inconsistent with that. So we'll wait and see.
Thank you. And just a follow-up question through you, Acting Chair. Am I right in supposing that if the Transport Commission think that, based on the evidence that they have, that this is an inappropriate change, they will just politely decline to change the speed limits? Yes, I'm getting a lot of nods around the table. So I guess the way that I feel about this is that I know what I don't know, which is whether or not it's appropriate to change the speed limit based on the evidence and the data presented, but I do know that the Transport Commission have the capability of finding that out, and so I will vote in favour of this motion, and I thank the Mayor for moving it, in order to determine that, comforted by the knowledge that the Transport Commission, if they think it's not a good idea, will refuse it, and I just want to make clear that I'm not taking a position on whether or not it's a good idea or a bad idea. I'm not yet a traffic engineer, maybe one day, but not right now, and so I will defer to the experts on that. So I will support the motion, and we'll wait and see what the Transport Commission says in return. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Reet, would you like to sum up?
No, thank you.
Okay, we have before us a notice of motion that Council asks the Transport Commission to reduce the speed limit on Redwood Road between the Channel Highway and the roundabout at the intersection of Village Drive and Maranoa Roads from 60 kilometres per hour to 50 kilometres per hour. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? We have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. In favour, we have Councillors Cordova, Midgley, Gladewright, Fox, Street, Westwood and Reet. And against, we have Councillor Wass. The motion is carried. I will now hand the chair back to the Mayor.
Thank you. We're still on page 109. Councillor Cordova submitted a notice of motion headed Entire Home Short Stay Accommodation. There is an officer's response from Ms Tyler Moore, so I have a mover in Councillor Cordova and a seconder in Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Housing is a human right. Sadly, in Tasmania, all levels of government have allowed the right to a warm, safe shelter to be superseded by moneyed interests who are using housing as a speculative investment vehicle. Housing should be a human right and not an investment class. For those who want to invest for their retirement, there's stocks, there's shares, there's bonds, there's futures, there's gold, there's even crypto and NFTs. You don't necessarily need to make your profits off the backs of young families or retirees trying to find an affordable home to rent. Greater Hobart, which includes Kingborough, is overloaded with short-term rental properties with 6.8 times more as a proportion of the long-term rental market than in Sydney and 4.5 times more than in Melbourne. In Greater Hobart, which includes Kingborough, the withdrawal of just 195 properties from the private rental market causes the vacancy rate to drop and rental prices to soar into the double digits. This is what is happening now. At the beginning of last month, the website Inside Airbnb claims that Kingborough has 327 entire homes and apartments listed on Airbnb. Now, when we had this debate at the last council meeting, we heard a range of arguments from councillors who ended up voting against getting a report into whole home visitor accommodation. One such argument was that Kingborough is quite different to Greater Hobart. Most of the whole dwelling short stay visitor accommodation is in rural areas like Bruny Island, and so it's not viable for people who want to commute into Greater Hobart for work. Is this true? Let's find out with a report. Even if it is true, what impact is that having on the local workforce in areas like Bruny? For working people on Bruny, are they able to find affordable rental properties? Let's find out with a report. Obviously, the most striking error with the argument that Kingborough is quite different from Greater Hobart is that Kingborough is part of Greater Hobart. But it also presupposes that the rental affordability crisis is something only happening in the cities, when in fact, it's happening in regional and rural areas too. People on Bruny, people in regional areas need affordable rental properties. Let's find out what impact short stay whole dwellings are having with a report. Another argument that we heard last time was that whole dwelling short stay accommodation is not a zero-sum game, and that having a stock of whole homes in short stay accommodation is good for our tourism sector, which employs many people. And with this argument, I would agree. But I would remind those making this argument that we were elected to represent the best interests of the people living and working in Kingborough, and not the best interests of the people who happen to be passing through. Let's put the Kingborough residents first. And once the last Kingborough worker, retiree, student and young family has somewhere warm and safe to call home, I'll be very happy to commission a report into the impacts on tourists of having to stay in hotel rooms rather than staying in family homes that have been wrenched off the long-term rental market. But having said all that, let's find out with a report. But by far the biggest issue that was raised by councillors who voted against this motion last time was the allegation of the wording of the report. Quote, it presupposes an objective, a solution to a problem, presupposes that disincentivising or prohibiting whole stay short stay visitor accommodation must be a good thing, end quote. So I fixed that. In this motion before you, I've removed that language that some councillors found problematic. The background of the motion mentions these issues, but the recommended motion before you is completely neutral in its language and deliberately so. There is no predetermined outcome here. There is simply a request for council officers to look into the matter. So let's find out with a report. This report will not be a single fix for the housing crisis. To fix the housing crisis, of course, we will need to look at increasing supply, utilising unused shops and car parks for more residences, taxing empty homes. There's a plethora of options. However, right now we need to get the ball rolling, controlling what we can control. And we already have the data out there. The Shelter TAS report that I refer to in this report, the work has already been done. It's been done by Hobart, by Brisbane, by Canberra, by Noosa and by others. When it comes to rental affordability crisis in Tasmania, the expectation is that our elected officials will lead, follow or get out of the way. From Brisbane to Battery Point, leaders are taking up the challenge to find solutions to fix the rental affordability crisis. The community want us to take action. And as Kingborough councillors around this table, we should lead, follow, or for those that don't want to fix the housing crisis, they should get out of the way. Please, I urge you, vote for this report. Thank you.
Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very pleased and thank Councillor Cordova for bringing this motion back. I tried to move an amendment to the previous motion, which was not allowed at the time. And I think coming up with a more positive motion, which is what I was trying to achieve, is a good outcome. And I think it's important that we do get a report on this issue, and I thoroughly recommend this motion to my fellow councillors. Thank you.
Councillor Glaidwright and Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. Firstly, I'd like to know, this proposed report, will it be provided by the planning staff?
Yes.
And would the Manager of Development Services, Tasha Tyler-Moore, who's provided the officer's response, have written the response, being a report can be prepared outlining the options available, if she thought that it wasn't going to be possible to do so or too resourceful to do so?
I think the General Manager can probably answer that. My understanding is that there is an extreme amount of pressure on the planning staff, as we've discussed several times around this table, and that it would stretch their resources quite thinly. But General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Glaidwright, thanks for the question. The Mayor has already given me a good segue into the answer. I've discussed this with the Manager of Development Services. Her response is brief because she is rightly pointing out that, yes, a report can be written. There are resourcing requirements that we have to keep in mind, of course, etc., but she is merely saying, yes, a report can be written.
And how long would a report probably be? A couple of pages?
Through you, Mayor, if this notice of motion is supported by the Council, I suspect that the report would be more than a couple of pages, because there are a number of external factors to take into account when considering this matter.
Thank you. For my substantive contribution, I went up and spoke with Kingston Neighbourhood House this afternoon, actually this morning, and I heard some terrible, terrible news that we have indeed at least 17 people in the Kingston area who are currently sleeping in tents in our municipality. It was really heartbreaking to hear that that is happening so close to our community. It's known that we're in a housing crisis. When you look at the definition of a crisis, it's a time of intense difficulty and a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. I appreciate that our planning staff are busy and that they are possibly under-resourced. However, I think, given there's a housing crisis and we know that there are people living in our tents, in our community, that it's probably okay to give a bit of time to have a look at this. I would like to point out that our vision is a community that is, sorry, our vision is our community is the heart of everything we do. Our purpose is to make Kingborough a great place to live. And our values include respect and inclusiveness. There are 17 people here in Kingborough that we know about, and I admit that it's anecdotal, living in tents. There are people sleeping in their cars. Drew Point was pointed out to me as a place where people are sleeping in their cars. Apparently there are tents being put up behind a mound of dirt at the Kingston Golf Course. And there are families who are going and living with their grandparents. There's kids and families having to move in with their grandparents, so there's up to 10 people living in two-bedroom units. It's really, really heartbreaking, and this is happening here. I'm really unclear at the moment what the role of local government is in this issue. I don't know. This motion is requesting a report that hopefully details a little bit about our role in this issue. This is more specifically looking at short stay visitor accommodation. But after speaking to the neighbourhood house this morning, I'm thinking maybe I need to put a motion that's broader, that just simply asks the question, what is our role? I understand that we have core purpose, and it's, you know, we need to stick to our core purpose. But if indeed we can assist, it would be really good to know. And while I'm unclear, it's hard to make any decisions. I'll be supporting this. I really appreciate that the planning staff are busy. I really get that. But when I hear that there are people living in tents, I think that their time is well utilised in giving this some attention. Thank you.
Councillor Westwood. I forgot I was chairing the meeting then, sorry. I was waiting for you to keep going.
Thank you, Mayor. I take offence to Councillor Cordova's statement about lead following or getting out of the way. I was elected by our community, as were you. There are 10 people that represent our community. If I choose to be recalcitrant, the definition being have an abstentively, I can't even pronounce it, uncooperative attitude towards authority or discipline, which is your accusation, published in the Chronicle, for everyone to see, if I have a different opinion to you, I'm entitled to vote whichever way I want, whenever issue I want. It doesn't make me recalcitrant. I don't have to get out of the way just because I have a different opinion to you. So that's my first point. My second point is that Kingborough isn't Hobart. We are part of Greater Hobart, but we are not Hobart. We don't have the same issues to the same extent as Hobart. We have data on how many whole homes we have, and there are not very many. Nowhere near the statistics that you have quoted in your notice of motion. You have used language which presupposes an outcome. For example, a report to Kingborough Council about this issue will equip councillors with the information to make evidence-based decisions on disincentivising the use of entire homes for short-stay visitor accommodation in our municipality. Second point, which using language, while we wait for new housing stock to come onto the market, we must act to take pressure off the rental market by restricting, prohibiting or disincentivising the use of entire homes for short-stay accommodation. So, again, you have presupposed an outcome. I know that there are people doing it tough. I volunteer of a Thursday night with the Louise van, and I help Kingborough Helping Hands to feed people in our municipality who can't put, who can't give their children a hot meal or give them lunch. Sometimes these people have housing, but they're paying so much in rent that they can't afford to feed their children. So this is a very complex issue. It's not going to be solved by you asking for a report, Councillor Cordova. I am offended by the reporting that you have publicly made in recent newspaper articles. I think it's been irresponsible and you've misrepresented me to our community. With the aid of our local newspaper, I might add. I will not be supporting this notice of motion. I 100% agree that we have an issue with housing affordability, and that I would like to do something to help the people who don't have a home. But you using this in the lead-up to a local government election to raise your profile on Greens Party politics, I don't like the way you have used this.
Yeah, I think that was a point of order. I heard a point of order there.
Councillor Fox didn't put her...
I think I might call the point of order then.
Okay, just calm down. Councillor Fox, did you want to call a point of order?
I just wanted to point out that it's not appropriate as a point of order to make personal remarks aimed at a particular councillor rather than the issue at hand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor
Fox. I think it's a... I accept that, but I think that the Deputy Mayor is responding to comments that were made outside of this chamber in relation to reflecting on the vote on the 15th of August. So I don't think she's out of line in that respect. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I would ask Councillor Cordova that you be a little bit more respectful to me when my opinion and my point of view differs from yours. Lead, follow or get out of the way is not appropriate at this table. I do not have to get out of the way if I have a different opinion to you.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Councillor Midgley, you had your light on. I think I had you next on the list.
Thank you, Mayor. I did certainly have my light on. So for me, addressing the housing crisis for local government requires many layers in regards to looking at what we can at what can be done. As I've shared before in other motions, we've talked about these matters. I've worked in the housing sector. That's probably my first job in King's Cross in Sydney in a women's shelter, and I stated at the last meeting that back then in my 21, hoped that no one in Australia would ever have to be homeless, and addressing that problem was big 25, 30 years ago. Moving to Hobart, I did not see the housing crisis that I saw in Sydney back then, but now we do see it. And thanks, Councillor Gladewright, for your very moving address tonight in regards to what you have heard locally. I've also heard many stories locally of people living on floors, that someone on a disability pension could afford to live in a tent site at a local caravan park with no power. That's how much they could afford on their payment. So, as I stated at the beginning, there's layers to how we can address the housing crisis. Local governments in Tasmania are stepping up. Local governments across Australia are stepping up and trying to look at solutions. For me, this is just one of those layers, as was the motion that was passed at last council meeting in regards to the motion that the Mayor had put up, as is the layers. And thank you again to the GM and the Mayor for when you're attending these forums and conversations that you are also looking at solutions. I see they are all layers to a crisis and we need to do something. I totally recognise that staff are under the pump in regards to the amount of work that they do. I hope that a lot of the information is there for them, and I hope that they can put forward perhaps some recommendations and perhaps other ideas of what council can do as well. So it is a layer. We're in a crisis. We need to support as many motions as we can to address what is happening and facing people that shouldn't be happening in the beautiful place we get to call Kingborough as our home.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Mayor. I certainly won't argue the point, as I could for some time, but I think it's fair to say that rental affordability and homelessness is a curse that we have, not only in Australia, but overseas. Not only in Tasmania, but the rest of Australia. Not only in Tasmania, but Kingborough. And not only just Kingborough, but Kingston, Blackmans Bay. We've always had homelessness in Kingborough for the last 20 years. It has now got to the stage where it's beyond what we should expect in the 21st century. Many people are suffering, not at their fault or their doings. They've just found themselves a victim. And yes, we could get staff who are under pressure now to write a report, but the report doesn't contain any terms of reference of what we're looking at. I believe that if we went the way of the motion, we'd probably get a report in November. December, hard to say whether we'd discuss it. January, we'd probably be at the same. So maybe February, we'd look at having a workshop and being able to take it forward. So if you work the number of months out there, all we're doing is delaying the inevitable. Another option that we could do, we could if you like, create and get the support, and I know we would, from the Greater Hobart Councils. We could then invite the other Southern Tasmanian Councils to become part of it. In our own electorate in the federal government, we have the Minister for Housing. We could speak with her. She knows that there's an issue, and in fact only a couple of days ago made the point that something needs to be done, it needs to be done urgently, and she's looking at every option available. We've got the State Minister for Housing also keen to resolve this issue and move on. So where I'm coming from there is that we can take this approach on a uniform level where local government, state government and federal government can work together to ensure that we can, if you like, I won't say resolve the issue, but certainly we can look at a number of options so that we can in fact resolve the issue. One of the things that we need to be prepared to do with some of these houses where people are mortgaged to the hilt and have had to increase their rental, do we give them a rates relief? That's right, a rates relief, so they can reduce the amount of money so that other people can move into the house that doesn't have all that much in the way of cash flow. Will the government give a land tax relief? Between those two, you're probably talking $6,000. You take $6,000 of expenditure off a homeowner, that works out to quite a bit per week. We look at the federal government and what taxation options would they introduce to address this issue in the short term rather than make it long term. What land is available? We could be talking with the state government with their development application and getting that push forward for Huntingfield. Maybe there's some homes that they can create sooner rather than later. I don't believe that Kingborough has the same proportion as Hobart City Council. Kingborough is different, but it's not immune to it. We also have those same issues. And is someone going to, without a car, move their family and live at Gordon and hopefully get to Hobart once a week? Probably not. Whereas in Hobart, it's far easier to be central for their requirements. I'm going to vote against this motion because I think all it's doing is paying lip service. It's not going to resolve the issue for at least 6 months and probably not even going to resolve the issue then. I think there are other options that we should be addressing and I've covered those, and on that basis I will vote against the motion, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Wass. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, I intend to keep my comments relatively brief because I stand by the comments that I made when a similar motion came before Council. But like Councillor Westwood, I won't be bullied into getting out of the way simply because I have a different opinion to any councillor around this table. My point has always been on this matter that our housing crisis, as Councillor Midgley rightly points out, is a multi-layered issue, and I don't think that it can be boiled down to any one particular policy or position. I won't apologise for taking a broader view of the issue of short stay accommodation, and I won't apologise for taking into consideration in this matter the support that that industry provides for hundreds and hundreds of other jobs in our tourism and hospitality sector. A roof over a person's head is absolutely the most important vicissitude of life. But the dignity and benefit of employment is equally important. What I simply cannot abide is being told that this is a simple problem and that short stay accommodation restrictions are the first and foremost answer. And with respect, I can't abide it from a councillor who on four times has been the only councillor voting against multiple dwelling development applications that total around 100 dwellings. The issue requires a holistic approach. It requires settings that better promote infill development. It requires rezoning in areas, like we saw tonight, that are perhaps inappropriately zoned as low-density residential. It requires making sure that our policy settings are right so that the development of affordable housing in Kingborough is easier. It cannot be boiled down simply to taking one position on short stay accommodation and laying the boot into one particular area on the eve of an election. I won't be bullied into changing my mind on this, and I stand by the comments that I've made. It is a heartbreaking and heart-wrenching situation that many of our fellow citizens find themselves in. But all I am saying is that pulling one lever alone is never going to be the solution to that problem, and I take offence at it being used as an issue in the way that it has.
Thank you, Councillor Street. For my contribution, I just want to say something that I hope everyone takes in the spirit that I intended. I feel like in the last 15 months, as we've sat around this table, that we've had some spirited debate about different issues where we don't agree. But we've always done so in a respectful way without making personal attacks. And it's something that I know that members of the community have noticed. I've had people say to me, we feel a sense of cohesiveness around the table, and it's a good thing we see the way you debate. So I am disappointed, Councillor Cordova, that when we had the dinner break at the last meeting, you didn't come and join us. You were writing your media release and you started labelling and name-calling to those of us who did not support your motion. And I'm very disappointed at that. I don't think that that's, that sort of thing is appropriate for us as councillors. It's not what the community likes, no matter how passionate we are about it, about issues. And I think you've heard from other members around this table this evening that we want to work together. We might not all agree on how we get to a particular outcome, but we want to work together. And I want a hallmark of this council to be, and subsequent councils, that we do that respectfully. Let's not become like other councils in other parts of the state where the debate is about personalities and not about the issue. So if we could keep this to the issues, I think that would be much more helpful in working constructively. And also, from the grammar point of view, the word recalcitrant was not used appropriately, but that's been covered, because we all know I like grammar. This is a very, very complex issue, and I wish there was a quick fix to it, as we all do, but there isn't. And many of the policies that actually impact on this are not ones that are in our control. Negative gearing, population increases, mortgage rates, social housing supply. It's a melting pot of almost the imperfect storm that sees us now in the situation that we are. And it's been compounded by the fact that we know that through subsequent governments of all persuasions, there's been an undersupply and investment in social and affordable housing at the same time that the waiting lists for social housing have gone up. And you throw in all the other circumstances now and, you know, it is very, very difficult. We need to focus on very much what we can do as a council. And I've been watching with interest what the Hobart City Council have done, and I'm interested in whether that is lawful or not. I'm not sure whether they've got the ability to just say no more permits being issued under the planning scheme. I noticed recently that the Tenants Union called for a statewide tax on empty houses, that because it's estimated there are up to 2,000 houses that are just sitting empty in Tasmania. That could make a significant difference if only a proportion of those were brought online. I don't know what the answer is in terms of the short stay accommodation and whether a an increase, and this is the big unknown. If we get a report to say, okay, well, we've got, you know, however many short stay accommodation actually on that, we have about 250 houses that we believe in Kingborough that are entire homes that are short stay. 160 of them are on Bruny Island. So I just want to put this in perspective. We're talking 90 houses in the entire Kingborough municipality that are entirely rented out for short stay accommodation. So that is a key factor that we need, in fact, that we need to consider in this. There are additional properties, but they're not whole houses. So if we're talking about whole houses. So even if you were to have a commercial rate that you charge those at, the question that I keep being left with is...
Time, ma'am.
Could I ask for a three-minute extension?
So moved.
So it's moved by Councillor...
Street. Still.
Still, Councillor Street. Moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Midgley, that I be given three additional minutes, please. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. So the question for me is, if we go to, say, commercial rates, as has been... there was a reference here to Brisbane City Council doing something similar. It actually only increased their rates by about $15 a week. So we'd be talking about penalising Airbnb owners or short-stay accommodation owners by about $10 to $15 a week. Is that going to be enough to convince them to put it on the long-term rental market rather than the short-stay accommodation market? I think that's a really interesting point that we actually have to consider in all of this. So, look, this is not easy. And I have some concerns about the work that the planning staff will need to undertake to do this. And I'm less optimistic than Councillor Wass about the timeframe for it, because they have regulatory requirements in relation to getting permits processed. And, of course, any permits, any delay in processes for DAs gives us a logjam down further down the track. So, you know, it's not going to come without some difficulty for our staff, but I think that I'm happy to support getting this report, given that the wording has been changed. I wish that Councillor Cordova had changed the wording at the last debate, because I think it might have got over the line then, and we'd be a little bit further down this process. I'm pleased to see there's no deadline on the report, because I don't think we can expect that of our planning staff. So I do appreciate that. But please, can I just say, finish where I started, and that is, we're all committed around this table to wanting the best for our community and for our residents. No one person has that as their sole thing. We all collectively have it, or we wouldn't be sitting around this table, and that includes the members who are not with us tonight. So please, let's continue to work constructively and cooperatively, because you can get a lot more done in that sort of environment than if we start to turn on one another and in a climate that we are in now, in caretaker mode and in the lead up to an election. I don't think that does local government as a whole, or in particular this council, any favours, because I know that we are all here for the best reasons, and so I will be supporting the motion, and I will ask Councillor Cordova if he would like to sum up.
Thank you, Mayor. It is our job to set the strategic direction of the council, and regional areas are affected by the affordability crisis too, and the recommended motion does not presuppose an outcome of a report. The recommendation is to get a report to consider how we best ameliorate the housing and rental affordability crisis, and we shouldn't let our personal animus cloud our judgment about getting a report into fixing the rental affordability crisis. Councillor Gladewright is absolutely right to draw our attention to the real lived experience of people in our community. We need to know what role local government can play in fixing this crisis. Can we set planning scheme amendments to cap whole home permits? Can we change differential rating systems? I don't have all the answers. The report will gather together and synthesise the data that already exists, the Shelter TAS report that already exists, the work of other councils that already exists. It will synthesise that data and give the new council, whoever they may be, the capacity to make informed choices. This motion is not about me, and it's not about the Deputy Mayor, and it's not about Councillor Street. It's about those 17 people to whom Councillor Glaidwright referred, and it's about the hundreds more in Kingborough who are struggling to afford rent, and it's about those landlords who are making the most out of the loose regulations that currently exist to allow profits to come before housing as a human right. We've heard a lot about councillors feeling offended tonight, and I only wish that we would have heard the same sense of enraged passion, the same sense of urgency and heartfelt motivation to fix the rental affordability crisis as we have about the hurt feelings of councillors who have simply been held accountable for their voting record.
Point of order. The Mayor's... we've just discussed just being respectful.
Is that a point of order upheld?
Yes, it is a point of order.
Councillor Cordova, you're making personal reflections again on councillors, and a
which
point of order has been you talked about the collective.
Okay.
So can you please just, I don't know whether I need to repeat what I said earlier, but if
I'm
we
happy
can
to
proceed,
withdraw the offensive remarks. I'll
thank
withdraw
you.
Those. Thank you. Ultimately, all I'm trying to achieve is a report into fixing the rental affordability crisis in Kingborough, which I think Councillor Glaidwright demonstrated is a very real and urgent need. And we are here in a crisis, a rental affordability crisis, and a crisis requires urgency. So please, I implore all of you to stop taking offence and start taking action. We can move this report so the next council will have some information at their fingertips which will help them solve this crisis. They might not be able to do it on their own. It might take state and federal government, but we can help them. And the way to best help them is to organise the strategic direction of this council to start making the rental affordability crisis a priority for us to take action. Please, I want you to stop being offended and start taking action. Thank you.
Oh, Councillor Cordova. Okay, I'm going to put the motion. Moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Aye. Show of hands is required. Councillors Cordova, Midgley, Glaidwright, Fox and Reet. And against is Councillors Wass, Street and Westwood. The motion is carried. We have now come to confirmation, page 112, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder for the items that are listed on page 112. Moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. In accordance with Kingborough Council's meeting audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. An open session of Council adjourned at 8:06 p.m.